Hey, hi everyone, it's Allison here. Thank you so much for joining, whether you're live, listening to the recording, however you're doing, this is perfect and it's the perfect time right here, right now for you. Hey, let's begin here by giving yourselves a slow, deep breath. Okay. Thank you. So I received a series of questions from a couple of you, and I think it all boils down to one answer, to be honest. And I'm gonna get to that part in a minute because there was another question that I also received that had a very, I think, distinctly different answer. So I'm going to open with that, and then we'll get to the one that I feel answers or could address the majority of what it is you are bringing to the table. Okay, allow me to begin. So the first question is around the theme of, do you have any advice on protecting the practitioner from picking up on clients' energy? All right, so let me dive into that one. I love this question, and I address it every step of the way, whether it's a public presentation, a fundamentals class, an access class, a free fall, a breakthrough. Doesn't much matter. So, with the answer to this particular question, know that when we are seeking to explore these types of issues, it really just simply boils down to the fact that there is no separation. There is no separation. So if there is no separation, we can't pick up on anybody else's energy, we can't give them our energy, there is no separation. Namaste, we are all one is a nice fluffier way of saying that. Regardless, there is no separation. Another way of addressing this is from a theorem in quantum physics referred to as Bell's theorem. So Bell's theorem means or says, states. And they actually write it with the word electron. I'm going to read it with the word cell. Okay? So each and every cell must know exactly what every other cell in the universe of the body is doing in order to know what they themselves have to do at any given moment in time. So essentially, all the cells have to know what all of the other cells are doing in order for they themselves to know their job. When we look at it from that perspective, it usually adds up pretty quickly. Like, yeah, the cells in my gallbladder need to know what the cells in my large intestine are doing, or my digestive system is really fucked real fast. It could be any set of cells, though, and the timing needs to be just so. There has to be a greater synchronicity than our left brain can even really begin to fathom. So let's also tune into dropping that left brain in another way. So for your, let's go macro version of this. We're going to read Bell's theorem through once again. So this time, instead of the word cell, we have the word person. Each and every person must know exactly what every other person in the universe is doing in order for they themselves to know what they have to do at any given point in time. So all the people have to know what all the other people are doing in order for they themselves to figure out what they have to do at any given moment in time. Makes a lot of sense when we look at it from the perspective of the body mind. Sometimes our hackles get raised when now we're talking about person, because, well, sometimes it feels like shit just got real personal. Pun intended. Okay. So for your understanding of that to deepen, know that this does not have to register at a conscious mind level. So it's not that you need to consciously know what all the other people are doing in order to know what you yourself have to do at any given moment in time. That would be controlling and maddening. You'd be insane within likely seconds. Imagine being aware of not just what you're already thinking and feeling and believing, but what all the people in your home are thinking and believing and feeling, everybody in your block, everybody in your city. Yeah, before we even get to country or earth or universe, we've already gone insane. That's a tremendous amount of input for your left brain to have conscious awareness of. That would be so difficult to tolerate. It just the system is not built that way. It's why we have a right brain installed. Yay, right brain. The right brain has that connection to universal consciousness. It has that awareness. It already actually knows everything that it already is out there across all time and all space, including what somebody else's energy is like. That's not a big deal for the right brain and the universal consciousness to sit with. Not at all. So we ask questions like, how do I separate myself from my client's energy? It's really more like, how do you get out of your left brain? How do you get out of the bullshit story, the belief system, that any of that is even possible? We are entangled beyond all measure. We are entangled beyond all measure. We are entangled beyond all measure. You know this from a personal sense. You know that how you do one thing is how you do everything. That law doesn't disappear outside of your body mind. How everybody does one thing is how we all do everything. We are far more alike than we are different. One might say we were infinitely alike. We are far more alike than we are different. It's usually easier for the mind to grasp. So let's meet it where it's at. We are far more alike than we are different. Could it be any other way that you can empathize with someone? Where the hell else would the quality of empathy, compassion come from? These are very heart-centered words as well. And although they've only measured the heart's energy field up to 17 feet away, it doesn't mean it couldn't possibly go to, let's say, infinity. So that's my suggestion, is to sit with that and let me know if you need more. I will happily continue to provide more here. Excellent. All right. The other questions that I got, I'm not even going to read them out loud because it may just put you into your head, and that's not where we need to be right now. And well, quite frankly, I just finished teaching Free Fall 1 and 2 about a half hour ago, so I don't know that I could go into my head a whole lot right now, but I tried. So we're going to play with all those questions that you've asked in the form of an exercise. And this exercise is called the Sedona Method. So the Sedona method, and there's a few as far as I can figure out or determine that they have in like their complete Sedona course. I've not done that. I have studied and used this particular technique a lot over several years now. The Sedona method is all about giving you the opportunity to be willing, meaning you would give anything, like more than a drowning man wants air. Do you want this? That's the definition of willing. To let it go. Would you be willing to let it go? All right. Now, this is no different than letting go of a pen or any other object that you have in your hand. It really, truly isn't. So, if you could imagine doing that with an emotion, well, if we walked around with our hand open, it would be really difficult to hold on to a pen or any other object. So, similarly, when you allow, welcome in, receive a feeling, you are opening your consciousness. And this enables the feeling to drop away all by itself. Like clouds passing the sky. It's as though you're really just releasing all that built-up pressure. So when we step into releasing, even the deepest feelings that we hold are really just on the surface. The very core of us, we're empty, we're silent, we're peaceful, we're joy. This is your very core energy, is joy. It's still, it's silent, it feels calm. I guarantee you it. In fact, if you need a different way of thinking about this, imagine we could take a microscope to any object and zoom in. You'd see a hell of a lot of space and very little matter. So again, from a physics perspective, we see that at the end, there's nothing really here. You'll get the absolute most out of this process of releasing the more you play with it. So if you do it once and you're like, give it another shot and give it many shots after that. So we're more and more releasing, we're going to allow ourselves to see, hear, feel it working rather than thinking about how could this work? Why would this work? Just like in body talk, let's let go of this how, this why, this bullshit. Idea of needing to create a story. Okay. So imagine that you can come with me right now on a little bit of a journey using your breath. Feel all the energy that you have up in your head right now. And imagine that you can just simply take a journey. Now you're gonna journey on down through the brain, the face, the neck. Simply done by means of breathing. Allow for this energy to move through the neck. And feel it releasing through to the heart. The heart thrives on energy. It has no judgments about good or bad because it's the most neutral place there is. So it thrives on this energy. It gets energized when you drop your mental chatter into it. And feel all of your energy begin to settle here in your heart. And just as you hang out here in your heart, I'm going to explain the steps to this process now. Your only job is to continue to hang out in your heart, letting go of how or why or, well, that's different. That doesn't agree with something I know or I've heard this before. I already know it. Get back to your heart. Okay, the first step. Step one, focus on any issue that you would like to feel better about. And then allow yourself to feel whatever you are feeling in this moment. So focus on an issue that you'd like to feel better about, and then allow yourself to feel whatever you're feeling in this moment. It doesn't have to be a strong feeling. You can even check on how you feel about this exercise and what you want to get from it. Just welcome the feeling and allow it to be as fully and as best as you can. Okay. So the way we begin that might sound really simple, but it has to be. Most of us live up in our thoughts. We have pictures and stories about the past, the future. Rather than being aware of how we actually feel in this moment, the only time we can actually do anything about is, or pardon me, the only time we can really actually do anything about the way that we feel, and for that matter, about our business, our lives, etc., is here and now. You don't need to wait for a feeling to be strong before you let it go. In fact, if you're feeling numb or flat or blank or cut off or apathetic or empty inside, these are all feelings that can be let go of just as easily with more recognizable ones. You don't even have to have a clear sense of what its label is. You just have to feel it. So you're just doing the best you can here in this step. The more you work with this process, the easier it's going to be for you to identify what you're feeling. Okay, I'm going to go on and explain the remaining steps. There's 5 in total. And then we will go through and I'll guide you through something in particular. Okay. Step 2. The second step is ask yourself one of 3 questions. The 3 questions are, could I let this feeling go? Could I allow this feeling to be here? The 3rd one is, could I welcome this feeling? So the 3 are, could I let this feeling go? Could I allow this feeling to be here? Could I welcome this feeling? So what we're doing in this step, well, these questions are merely asking you if it's just possible to take this action. Yes or no, the answer is acceptable either way. You could answer no, no, no to all of this, and the process still works. It's fucking magical. It's amazing. Okay? You'll often let go even if you say no. As best you can, answer the question that you choose with a minimum of thought, staying away from any sort of second guessing, getting into that internal debate about the merits of that action or its consequence. All the questions used in this process are deliberately simple. They're not important in and of themselves, but are designed to point you to the experience of letting go, to the experience of stopping holding on. Okay, so regardless of how you answered number two, you move on to number three. Step three is, no matter which questions you started with, ask yourself this simple question. Would I? Put another way, am I willing to let go? So would I? Am I willing to let go? So again, staying here away from any of those debates, thoughts that are going into, you know, the how or the why or any of that. Staying away from the debates. Remember that you're always doing this process for yourself. And when we serve ourselves, we gain back our freedom and our clarity. It doesn't matter if the feeling is justified, long-standing, or right. Okay, this process is for you to serve yourself with. If the answer is no, or if you're just not sure, ask yourself, would I rather have this feeling, or would I rather be free? Even if the answer is still no here, go on to step four. This process still magically works. Again, fucking amazing. Step four is, ask yourself this simpler question even simpler question. When? And the answer could be anything again here. This is simply an invitation to just let it go now. So you may find yourself easily letting go. Remember that letting go is simply a decision that you can make anytime you choose. You have a massive, everybody does, a letting go consciousness center in your brain. We actually work with several different exercises in free fall to help you support the discovery of that, the finding of it. This letting go consciousness center is already here. Your body's already doing it. It's really just getting the hell out of its way. So when would you like to do that? Okay, the fifth step is kind of sneaky. It's not really one precise step. Repeat all of the four steps that we just went through as often as needed until you feel free of that particular feeling. You're going to repeat all the steps until you feel free of that particular feeling. You'll probably find yourself letting go a little bit more in each and every step of the process. Every time you go through it another round, you may find that you continue to release even more. At first, you may be new to this, and the results could be subtle. However, it happens very quickly that if we persist with this, the results seem to get more and more noticeable. So you may find that you have layers about feeling of a particular topic. And you can definitely continue to explore this, using this process to serve yourselves. Okay. Now breathing here, let's give yourselves a nice, slow, deep inhale and exhale. Get out of your heads with all that information. And just begin to walk yourself back down to your heart if you need to. All right. So if you asked a question or if you didn't ask a question, doesn't matter. Let's begin this process. Let's begin with step one. Focus on an issue that you would like to feel better about. When you've got your issue, allow yourself to feel whatever you're feeling in this moment. Strong or subtle, doesn't matter. Just feel it all, observe it all. Okay, now you can ask in step two one of three questions. I'm going to ask them all because one might speak louder to certain people than others. So I'll ask them all. Could you let this feeling go? Could you allow this feeling to be here? Could you welcome this feeling? Regardless of your answer, let's go on to step three. Would you? Are you willing to let go? Regardless of the answer here, when? All answers are right here. Whatever you have. Now let's repeat those steps if you feel you need to until you feel free. So again, I'll walk it through just one more time for the purposes of this call, but know that you can continue to listen to the recording and continue the process for yourselves. So in short, this is could you, would you, when is the quick summary. Could you, would you, when? Let's go through it. So continue to feel whatever you're feeling. If there's anything that remains, if you're already done, well, you're done. Could you let this feeling go? Could you allow this feeling to be here? Could you welcome this feeling? Would you? Are you willing to let go? When? And feel free to repeat that as many times as you like. The could you, would you, when is a really easy, simple way to allow for the letting go consciousness center to continue to develop, whether or not you've taken free fall, irregardless. This is a center designed to help balance out your amygdala. The amygdala is the center of your overreactions. It decides, based on fear, anger, rage, how to respond or overreact to something at hand. So it typically goes into, fear, anger, rage, overreactions. And this is how all human beings are hardwired. So this area of our brain, the way that we balance it so that way it's not king in the brain is to have the center for letting go. So you have an entire consciousness center that balances this area out. Okay. And in turn, it allows for the brain to, well, not go insane, really. And it allows for you to be able to let go without necessarily all those things that you think you need to let go when it's well developed. Even when it's on its way to being well developed. So instead of, needing a drink, needing a joint, etc., video gaming, online shopping, however you cope, numb, dope yourself. You have a letting go consciousness center here that's able to do all of those things without requiring any coping mechanism. So that is just a little bit more about why this process is so important. It's a great balancer to the amygdala and its responses, overreactions, usually in fear, anger, rage mode. So when you feel yourself going into any sort of fear, anger, rage, overreactions, and you can think of as overreaction as anything that feels personal, and there's emotions and thought about it. So overreactions, and this is from Breakthrough, is very simply stated as anything that feels personal that has lots of emotions or thoughts about it, which I would wager a bet is likely a solid 99% or so at least of the interchanges going on in your mind at any point in time. So we have far more overreactions in subtler forms than our body can even necessarily consciously grasp. This is why the letting go consciousness center is so critical. It makes sure, like the right brain did earlier and the other answer to the other question, it makes sure that we don't go insane. So yay, letting go consciousness center. Okay, my love, so try that on. Give that a go. And I can say that one of the big themes behind the series of questions I got from one person was self-identified by her as that of self-love. So when we are letting go, this is the deepest act of self-love there is to me. Okay. So using this tool, could you, would you, when, is continuing to honor yourself and all that you're feeling in any given moment in time and allowing yourself to flow through it with grace, with ease. Or you can fight the process. That happens too. That's just human. We're never going to be perfect at this shit. So if you notice beating yourself up over not doing this process right or correctly, then go back and do another one on just that, beating yourself up. All right, my loves, that's all I have to say about that piece. So I hope that you love it as much as I do after you get to know it. So take this on a date and then take it on another date and then just keep dating it until you want to marry it. It is one of the most valuable tools that I've had in my toolkit that has served me very, very well over the years. If you have questions, comments, queries about it, let me know. And I wish you all the explorations of it that you'd like and more. All right, loves, let's settle into the second part. And we're actually going to do a body talk session for this next piece here. Actually, I lied. I'm going to press pause before I go full steam ahead here and get ahead of myself and just check in and see if there's any questions that I can answer about any of that. No? No? Nothing. Must be crystal clear. I say that tongue in cheek. Nothing's ever perfect. All right, my loves, let's settle on into a body talk session. So if you like, you're welcome to find a nice, cozy, quiet place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for this session. Beginning here by means of breathing. Giving yourself some slow, deep inhales and exhales. Using every breath as an opportunity to release and let go. Begin to feel yourself sink even deeper into that cushion below you. So we're actually starting off with a cellular repair on your spinal column as a whole. So giving the spine all the strength and all the juiciness that it needs to serve you well in standing tall. It's often thought that our spine is like an antenna of consciousness. So it helps to shift our consciousness when we shift the spine. With the cellular repair, restoring cells back to that fullest potential of health for the spine as a whole. It can include the coccyx, the sacrum, and the whole lumbar, thoracic, cervical spine. And for good measure, we're actually going to count the region of where the top of the cervical one vertebrae joins onto the skull above. All right. Here we need to do some fascial unwinding of this same region where the skull joins the spine. On the right-hand side, there's self-doubt. On the left-hand side, there is a feeling of, well, almost like bitterness towards not being fully appreciated. So we're going to unwind the fascia here for whatever that's representing for you, conscious or subconscious alike. Mm-hmm. It's linking into an interesting active memory. I don't know if you ever had one of those relatives that like squeezed your cheeks together and was like, "Oh, aren't you cute?" Woo, as a baby, as a toddler, at some age of life. Heck, for all I know, maybe you have a playful relationship with your partner and they do that. Well, the body mind is perceiving that active memory as feeling like you were dismissed, feeling like you were, again, this is where some of that like bitterness around unappreciation is coming from. There's just a feeling of being dismissed versus appreciated. So it's not interpreting the oh, aren't you cute, goo 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 as appreciation, it's interpreting it as being dismissed or feeling dismissed. So we have to link that into a permission to simply feel appreciation. And the words are, it is safe to feel appreciation. Appreciation is safe. Feeling appreciation is safe. Whichever one resonated the most for you, that's yours. For me, it's the last one. For somebody else, it might be the first one or the second one. Regardless, we're using whichever one speaks to you the most. Okay, now doing an emotional release of anger. It's coming out of the gallbladder meridian, which is interesting because that's where, well, anger processes. But it's like there's so much here that the anger is destroying its natural, healthy role of creating movements. So we're not emptying the gallbladder meridian of anger. That wouldn't serve anybody very well. The natural energy of emotion needs to be there. And we're simply addressing the attachment here. And the, well, the piling on of all the, it's personal. Something's happened to me. Then with that, along the same time here, we're running a parallel session to increase the Wei Qi around the back body, again, where that skull joins the spine. It's all linking into the liver and gallbladder complex that produce our Wei Qi. That in turn is connecting into the heart for its role in harmony. And then we're going to link the heart for good measure right back to the Wei Qi. So that Wei Qi protection synthesis are its two major roles. All right, my loves, feel free to place a hand wherever you feel called to on your body, and we're going to tap here. Give that all a slow, deep breath. Okay. We've got TMJ to SI reciprocal popping up. And this guy's all about digestion. Think of it as also helping to support taking a bite out of life, taking like a nice juicy bite out of a giant piece of cake, like kind of juiciness. And the reason that we're doing that is to address the feeling of what we're taking in is somehow toxic. Whether that's in your environment, your food, your people, your own behaviors, your own emotions, etc. Now, what you're taking in is toxic. So, TMJ to SI reciprocal to help that, along with body chemistry. So, supporting our immune system to address that toxicity. And then at the same time, running an active memory that's actually stored in the Wei Qi. And it's very much a cultural, that's the wrong word. What's the word? Like the big society and culture at large. So not like one particular culture or one particular society, but the whole of all of that, cultural and societal. And it's a fear of being raped, which is a strong wording. A more subtle variation of that might be a fear of being taken from. And we're unhooking that off of where the relationship exists between the sacrum and the pubic bone. And with this, we're running the permissions, sex is safe. Okay, my loves, we're going to tap here. Place a hand wherever calls you, two hands if you prefer. Breathing here, we're going to tap this in. Well, we're going into the energy field of the heart. So not just the physical heart, but the energy field of the heart. And it's as if the body's interpreting the vastness that is here as something that makes it very lonely, isolated, abandoned, unwelcomed, depressed. And we're addressing the belief system here of my heart is foreign, as in not familiar. My heart is foreign. Not as in a different nationality. And then we're healing the relationship between the entire body, mind, and the heart by bringing in hydration, which helps to absorb water, absorb joy, release impurities. At the same time, we're going to run lymphatic drainage for the heart energy field. And similarly to hydration and releasing impurities, it's going to release your gunk, your toxins, your waste, your low self-esteem, your overthinking, your overanalysis. And we're going to tap here. Lots of little formulas. That's great. Tapping here. Give that all a slow, deep breath. Feel free to hold wherever feels right for you. All right, we have another permissions coming up. I don't really have words, I just have a feeling, so I'll talk around it. It's around that commitment to dig deep, to continue with the process, to not get stalled, to not get hung up, but just to continue no matter where you are in whatever process, to continue to go deep. We're bringing in to support that two consciousnesses. The first is of reconnection, and the second is of being reunited, or reunition. I think that's a word. Reunion. There we go. Got it. All of that is collectively linking into your sacrum. It's no mistake that our sacrum is referred to as sacred bone. That's the root of this word. And we need to do a few things here for this sacrum. First of all, it looks kind of frozen. It looks like it's not moving or pumping your energy. There's a critical energy that hangs out here in our pelvis that needs to be moved and grooved, and it does so in a variety of ways. We're going to make sure that the pelvis being, you know, relatively stationary and not moving with your breath isn't inhibiting its flow. That's all defined by the consciousness of just that, inhibitions. We're going to link it along with all five senses, physical and subtle alike, through to the heart for individuation. And so peeling back a layer of who it is you are not to reveal who it is you are. At the same time, we're going into all the lymph nodes that drain the heart region here. And we are clearing house in a pretty big way. We're going to run a defrag here. Much like a computer defrag, I think of it as a spring clean. Taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and then what does remain can be more readily accessed and used for healing. So it's going to allow for greater circulation of lymph within the lymph nodes and greater circulation of all this stuff out of the heart and through the lymph nodes into the system to be released and processed by the body-mind. That, in turn, is all collectively linking into the quadratus lumborum muscle, so the muscles in our low back. All right, so here for the QLs, as they're affectionately referred to, for the quadratus lumborum muscles, we need to work on their sense of feeling confident in A, their strength, and B, their power. We're running to support that a permissions of it is safe to be me. And it's linking into more of a concept of who am I without my story? So you can also think of it as a bit of a belief. Who am I without my story? I can't be anybody without my story. Gotta have my story about myself. And we're looking at why the need for the story. And usually it has something to do with a certain level of control. And that's indeed what's coming up here as well. So looking at the control that's been anchoring you into your stories, even the stories you don't like, I'm releasing that. The control matrix has actually been smack dab centered in the middle of your heart, which is a really, shitty place for control. Related to this is the belief system that to be neutral is to be controlling. Can't be sincere and be neutral at the same time is another belief system. We're linking that to all five senses, again, physical and subtle alike. And interestingly enough, linking that through to both the heart as well as the cerebrospinal fluid. In particular, the part of it that runs along the spinal column. Cool beans, we're going to tap here, give that all a slow deep breath. Okay, cool. We're going back into the liver gallbladder, and we have a satellite or an unrelated part of the, well, it's not linked, but it's related, I should say, to the formula somehow. The satellite of would you, could you, when. And that in turn is linking into those QL muscles in the low back. So letting go of the anger that's here in the liver gallbladder that's inflaming anything in the low back. Specifically, that colors self-perception. So often we shove all of our crap into our back body. That's where it's really easy to hide it. Okay, cool. End of story. We're tapping here. Place a hand wherever feels right for you. Give that all a slow, deep breath. All right, my loves, that is all she wrote for today. Nothing specific for follow-up, and I know you're going to be really shocked to hear that homework is to continue to play with the could you, would you, when. All right, my loves, that's our time for today. Please do follow up with me if you have any questions about any of that, or if you would like more follow-ups to your specific questions after you played with could you, would you, when, and applied that to them. And let me know if there's anything else I can answer for you. We have, I believe, three more calls left. Man, it's flying by. Okay, so the world is your oyster here. Order off the menu. Don't order off the menu. Get out of your head about what it is you think you could ask and ask anything you want. This is your opportunity. Use it to its fullest. Okay. And a reminder that, as always, you can reach out anytime you like. I'm happy to work with you privately anytime. All right, my loves, signing off for now, and I'm going to wish you a most fabulous Halloween because it's Halloween tomorrow and Halloween is my Christmas. I love Halloween. So, wishing you all a most playful, fun, happy Halloween. Bye for now.